Community leaders, researchers, and public service organizations came together for the Wisconsin Idea Conference earlier this week in Madison.
The Wisconsin Idea came about in the early 1900s, inspired by former UW president John Bascom's belief that the university's service to the public was a moral obligation.
With the Trump administration's mass layoffs of federal employees working in public service, we're checking in on how the Wisconsin Idea is doing.
Travis Wright is faculty director of the Mortgage Center for Public Service and an associate professor of counseling psychology at UW-Madison. Travis, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me.
The Mortgage Center is focused on building partnerships and solving these critical issues through service and learning. And right now we're seeing tens of thousands of federal workers being laid off. How do the federal layoffs and research funding cuts affect the mission at the Mortgage Center?
You know, we are concerned about the impact of the budget cuts, obviously, on the university and the community. And so we're trying to be very proactive in thinking about how to fill the gap. Now more than ever, I think it's important for campus and community to work together, to be partners, to engage in meaningful dialogue with each other. So we're doing our best to think together about, in these sort of changing times, how we might continue to collaborate to make a difference in society and to help people understand in a deeper way the importance of service and connection.
Can you give an example of a community partner and what they might be going through or feeling at this moment?
Sure. So, you know, some of our partners work with folks who share minoritized identities. And so a number of our partners serve migrant communities, minoritized communities, communities that may have been experiencing reductions in funding or support, or maybe experiencing higher levels of surveillance. And so, you know, obviously this has created a lot of stress and distress for these agencies. Funding in many cases has been cut. And so community organizations are trying to do more with fewer resources. And so we've been thinking about, how do we connect campus resources to these community partners that are in need and mobilize students and use sort of intellectual property of the university to help our partners kind of think about their work in different ways and to bridge the gap.
And your work, I would imagine, is oftentimes built on trust. It's built on relationships. Is that suffering when, you know, you see so many changes at the federal government and layoffs and other issues like diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Mm-hmm. What I'm finding is that, you know, because the university is experiencing a lot of threat right now, and I think many of our partner organizations are as well. And so I'm finding that this is actually in some ways sort of required us to sort of lean into each other and really rely on each other as partners. Now more than ever, our work of connecting campus and community is essential. Like, we have to build goodwill and connection with community. Just yesterday, we held our third annual Wisconsin Idea Conference, and over 300 members of campus and community came together to think about partnership and how do we deepen our connections and how do we work together more collaboratively and to continue the good work and to build on the good work that is already taking place. So campus is very involved in the community, and the community is very involved on campus. And I think that our job as an institution, but especially at the Mortgage Center, is to make sure that we continue to support that deep collaboration and the kind of shared work.
We're talking with Travis Wright, faculty director of the Mortgage Center for Public Service at UW-Madison. You mentioned the Wisconsin Idea, this, you know, effort to unite the university and the state around the common good and to lift up Wisconsinites regardless of their background or their class. Is the Wisconsin Idea at risk? What do you hear?
I would say that most faculty came to Wisconsin specifically because of the Wisconsin Idea. I can certainly say that's the case for me. I was teaching at a private institution in another part of the country, and I I was excited to come to Wisconsin because I wanted to work at an institution that sort of held this value of doing work to impact the public good, and that was deeply committed to making sure that the public interest and the public voice was represented in the work that we're creating. Here on campus, we are sort of doubling down on and reinvesting in the idea that as a public institution, that we have to serve the public. And so I think that sometimes folks have forgotten that. Sometimes maybe we haven't done a good enough job of helping people understand all the ways that we're trying to do that. I think maybe sometimes for political reasons, folks have sort of wondered if the help that is being provided is the help that they want. But I think at its core, this institution and my colleagues and the students who work here are deeply committed to leaving the world better than we found it, to sort of making sure that the walls and the barriers that keep people out are removed, so that this really is a public serving institution that that all of the public, everyone can touch it, can be impacted by it, can benefit from it. And so, you know, I think when I hear colleagues on campus who are afraid or frustrated or worried in these kind of uncertain times, the Wisconsin idea is really the thing that we're defending. Like, we want to be a state-serving institution. We want to make sure that Wisconsin is better because we're here, and that the whole world is better because we're here. That's why we do this.
It makes me think about the idea of connective labor and this deep interpersonal work that is also part of all public service. And I'm wondering in this moment, how do you see civil service, you know, specifically working for the government as you do your work and you see what's happening with these cuts?
I think that, so I'm speaking as an individual now, sort of, I can't sort of represent the university as I haven't throughout this whole interview. I'm really speaking as an individual. But for me, I think the thing that is most worrying in this moment, one of the many things that's worrying, is that it seems to be that there isn't general consensus about the importance of the public good. It feels like when we have been at our very best as a country, we have agreed that there is a collective we. As someone who has spent his life sort of focused on public service and building civic identity and promoting sort of this idea of community and sort of working in community and being in community and sort of celebrating the public good, I'm very concerned that it seems like increasingly that idea is being contested. You know, I hear more and more people talking about sort of acting in their own self-interest, being able to choose sort of what is best for them, sort of separate from how that choice might impact other people. And I think that that is really concerning, because once we lose that sense of responsibility to each other, the social fabric, the social connection starts to fray, and then we are just pitted against each other on virtually every front. And so I think that in some ways, this sort of fragmentation of the civil service, this idea that our collective services, our collective efforts can be kind of dismantled, you know, the positions, the work, the structures, those are tremendous losses. And sort of maybe even more profound is the idea that there is no collective we, or that there is no obligation to preserve a public good or public space or public institutions. And so I think that I'm deeply concerned about what's happening, because we're firing people who have built their lives around acting in the best interest of others. And when those people, that commitment, that obligation is no longer supported, who have we become, right? Mm-hmm. A society of individuals who just battle each other all the time.
You grew up in a low-income family, and when you talk about the collective we and public good, public service, I wonder how much of that comes from your own background and what you saw growing up.
You know, absolutely. Survival is a collective action. You know, I am only where I am today because I had access to a high quality public education, right? Like, it was the thing that gave me a pathway to being able to be independent and take care of myself and sort of provide for my own family, and to contribute to my to other family members and other community members who may not have had the same opportunity. You know, food baskets from the church, 4-H agents who, you know, provided developmental opportunities for me, scholarships that allowed me to continue my higher education when there was no way that my family could have afforded it, have made all the difference in my life. And so I personally can speak to the importance of these social institutions as ways to help people kind of actualize and become more independent and to become contributors to society. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, I am so worried and so deeply concerned about all of the public servants who are losing their jobs. And it is sad to me as someone who kind of really relied on all of those services or many of those services growing up. Because I think not only do the people who lose their jobs miss out, but these are actually the kinds of roles that help people be sort of lifted up, raised up to have their needs met. And so I think that, you know, I know firsthand from my own experience that my life is richer, that I'm more secure, that I'm more stable, that I can be more successful when I have lots of people standing around me, supporting me when I'm embedded in communities and multiple networks. And as those things start to fade away, as those things, as those sources of support become more fractured, who's going to be there to pick people up when they need a helping hand? And sometimes that's exactly what people need to be able to move forward in their lives.
Travis, I want to end on the Wisconsin Idea Conference and what you saw at it, the theme of exchange. And I'm wondering what those exchanges were like and how the people involved looked at the challenges around them.
You know, I haven't gone to a meeting in months where people didn't voice anxiety or frustration or uncertainty or fear. But very quickly, especially at the conference yesterday, that really faded into collective action, sort of strategic thinking, partnership, connection, community. It was very powerful to be in a room of people who were committed to working together, to thinking about how do we share resources? How do we sort of continue to work for the public good, even when it seems to be that there are forces that are seeking to make that more challenging or to dismantle it, you know? And it was really powerful thinking about what can we do together to continue advocating on behalf of the public good, creating connections between campus and community, trying to leave the world better than we found it, you know, even when it's hard, looking for opportunities to celebrate and to appreciate and seek out connection, you know, especially when people feel fragmented. So I felt really hopeful and optimistic that that the very best of us will find a way to connect even when times are hard.
Travis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Travis Wright is faculty director of the Morgridge Center for Public Service at UW-Madison. He talked about the Wisconsin Idea and civil service in light of the Trump administration laying off tens of thousands of federal workers. For disclosure, WPR is a service of UW-Madison.